I appreciate Brother Ray being obedient to requesting that song, How Great Thou Art. That's been on my mind, how great God is. And like the first song we sang, the ink being the ocean, you could drain the ocean with all that could be written about the Lord. And John talks about how the world can contain the books of everything that Jesus and God has done for us. And tonight, that's been on my heart, and I've actually asked Brother Ray to play that song again on the organ for the invitation. But for a few minutes, I just want to look at what we have access to if we depend upon God. And we heard a great message this morning from the Lord about, through Brother Roy, about how God's in control and we can depend upon Him and we can look through all these spider webs in this world. But the Lord's laid something on my heart tonight talking about what we have access to through the Lord Jesus Christ and through God. The power that we have. And just bear with me. I hope you know the story of Moses and the children of Israel and everything. We're going to be going real fast through this because we don't have time. But hopefully you know the story good enough you can fill in the cracks. But in Exodus chapter 1, you remember that the children of Israel were in Egypt, and it says in verse 7 in chapter 1, it says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." This would be Pharaoh. "And he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they'll join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land." They were getting a little scared of the people of Israel. They were multiplying. God was blessing them. And the Egypt says, we got to put a handle on these things. Verse 11, "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with vigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with vigor." But you see, God had compassion on His people. And you know the story later in chapter 1, the Egyptians commanded that all the man-childs be killed, but God prevented Moses from being killed. And then in chapter 3, God speaks to Moses in the burning bush, and He tells him, "I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to deliver my people out of that bondage." And if you would turn to chapter 3, I not only want to look at, there's tough times that we go through, but there's also promises of God that gives us that we can bank on, that we can trust in, that we can depend upon, and believe that it's going to take place. Exodus 3, verse 4. This is when God was talking to Moses in the burning bush, and He says, "When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he says, Here am I. And he says, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites. God is going to deliver His people out of the land of Egypt. He's going to give them a new land, a promised land, the Canaan land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, Who am I? Verse 12, and he said, Certainly, this is God. God is causing Moses to do something, and God, Moses is kind of intimidated by it, but God says, and he said, Certainly I will be with thee. Certainly I will be with thee. Just think about that. And whatever we face, whatever God calls us to do, God's going to be with us. And that's what I was talking about when God's doing something. And we're going to see this as we continue. But if we can depend upon the Lord, if we can be in tune with Him, if we can be in the right spirit, we have all access to all His Spirit and power. Because we're doing what His will is and doing what He wants us to do. But if we try to do things on our own and by our own power, we won't accomplish anything. And we can't have any victory, because the God we serve, the God that we read about, God of Abraham, God of Isaac and Jacob, He's talking to Moses here. Moses, verse 13 says, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. That's the God we serve. Brother Roy mentioned this morning in Genesis, Elohim. He's also called Jehovah. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He is I am. I am that I am. That's the God we serve. And that's the power and the ability and the spirit that we have to defeat our enemies if we're in tune with God. He goes on and continues. He goes to the elders of Israel and tells them what God is planning on doing. So God fills them in on what He's doing. And again, He tells the elders, hey, God's going to send you to a land, a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. In chapters 5 through 7, Moses and Aaron goes to Pharaoh. And God allows Moses to be respected by Pharaoh. You would think that he wouldn't even listen to him. But you know God was in charge. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he was at God's disposal. He couldn't do anything out of God's will. And Pharaoh allows Moses to speak. But it says that Pharaoh's heart is hardened. God hardens his heart. Turn over to chapter 7, if you would. Got a couple verses there. Verse 3 says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people from the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them, And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. Well, I read that for this reason. God says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." Not only was He going to deliver His people, He was going to declare to the world who He was and that He is the Lord. That's who we have access to. And you know the story. The next chapters talk about the plagues, the 10 plagues in Egypt. Finally, Pharaoh gives in and lets the children of Israel. After 10 plagues, it took his firstborn son being killed by the Lord before he finally gave in to the will of the Lord. And I'll turn over, if you would, to chapter 14 in Exodus. Chapter 14, the children of Israel are leaving Egypt. Verse 5 says, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled." And now get this. After all the plagues that they went through, Pharaoh's changing his mind. It says, "And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?'" We read earlier about what all that the children of Israel did for them. I don't know, but I wouldn't put it past that the children of Israel is the one that built the pyramids over in Egypt. All those great things over there. I don't know, but it's possible. But I know that it says that they built a lot of things with brick and mortar. But here Pharaoh said, "Wait a minute. What have we done? We let them go. They've been serving us all this time." So Pharaoh says, "We're going to go after them." Down in verse 10 it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh," remember they were chasing them with the chariots. It says, "When they drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." They didn't trust Him. How many times do we not trust Him when He promises us things? The children of Israel didn't trust Him. They seen all the many plagues that God had performed. They seen how that God was in charge and how that Pharaoh let them go. But then when Pharaoh changed his mind and started chasing them, they had fear. Verse 11, "And they said unto Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness.'" What they're saying is, it is better for us to serve the world, serve Egypt, than it is to serve the Lord and depend upon His promises. He promised them a new land, a land of milk and honey. They wouldn't have to serve anymore. But again, their fear, and Satan tries to capitalize on our fear. He tries to get us to doubt, God's not going to do anything. He's not going to do anything. You need to handle it yourselves. But we know time and time again that we can't do anything. Only God can deliver us. Listen to what Moses tells the people. Verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, 'Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.'" The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. And you know the story. They were at the Red Sea. God says for Moses to raise his rod up, the sea parts. The people of Israel go across. Then the Pharaoh and his armies behind them. And then the sea collapses back on them and kills all the Egyptians. And delivers them again from the hand of the enemy. There wasn't any ability in them. It was all in God. And He's time and time again fulfilling His promises to His people. And we kind of look at them and the children of Israel and say, Why are you doing this? But we're the same way. I'll admit I'm the world's worst. Like Paul says, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but I'm the world's worst to complain about something. But why do we complain? Because we think something needs to be done right now. It needs to be done this way. We're trying to do things in our own ability, not in God's timing and in His will. He's already given us all the promises that we need. We've got to depend upon Him and be in touch with Him. Turn over to Numbers chapter 14. The children of Israel were still in the wilderness. And they're coming up on the promised land, the land of Canaan. And in chapter 13, that's when they sent spies into the land to see what they were facing. God already promised them He would deliver them from all the enemies, no matter who they were, the Canaanites, the Amorites, and all those, the giants, everybody. God already told them He would take care of them. Chapter 14, it says, And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Have they forgotten what God did at the Red Sea? Do we forget what God has done in our past? The victories He's given us, but yet we complain and fear and fret. Why do we fear? God said He'd give it to us. Just like He promised that He'd take care of the children of Israel, He's going to take care of you and me. Regardless of what's going on in the world, He's going to take care of us. Verse 3, And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? They would rather be in the bondage than take the victory and the promises that God has. It says, And they said one to other, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. And you know the story, Joshua and Caleb. It says that which were with them, they searched the land, rent their clothes. They couldn't believe that the people were thinking this after God had said, I'm going to give you this land. The people could not trust what God says. We cannot trust what God promises us. In verse 13 through 19, Moses intercedes for the people, tries to change God's mind, but God's about had enough. In verse 19, it says, and this is Moses, he says, Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. So Moses was pleading with God. But listen to what God says. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. God was merciful here, and He pardoned them. But there's sometimes consequences, and we'll get that there in just a minute. But I want you to notice here. It says, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. God is doing all this for His glory. He is delivering the people of Israel out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the promised land for His glory. It said He hardened Pharaoh's heart and the Egyptians for His glory. He wanted to let the people of Egypt know who He was, the God of all the universe. Says, because all the men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. All the people, they're not going to get to see the promised land. Because of their fear. Because of their unbelief. There's a colon there. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Not only Caleb, but Joshua as well. But I want to look at this just a minute. There's something different about Caleb. It says he had another spirit with him. What spirit did he have? He had the Spirit of God. He was in tune with God. He was in tune with what God was going to do. He went as a spy and seen what was there, all the giants and everything in the land, all the armies. But yet when the people started murmuring, he rent his clothes because he knew God would deliver them out of the hands of the enemy. Caleb had another spirit. That's what we need to yearn for. Is that another spirit that God can give us. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't be in tune with God in the flesh and our own abilities. We have to be in tune with Him. We have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and be on His way and His will and what He's doing to accomplish what God wants to accomplish for His glory. Not only were the people prevented from going into the land of Canaan. In verse 33 it says, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. It didn't just finish up there. They're going to be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief and what the Lord has for them. Are we going to believe God and His promises? You know, His Word is filled with promises for us. He talks about the children of Israel. He talks about God's people in the Old Testament. He talks about the saints. He talks about the family of God in the New Testament. All those promises are for everybody that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In closing, I want to look at one more scripture in Isaiah chapter 31. We actually read this chapter this morning in Sunday school, and it reminded me of how many times, why do we always want to remember the bad things, the things that's happened terrible in our lives, and focus on those? Why can't we remember the victories and the joyous times and the wonderful times that God has delivered us through and been through, but yet we focus on those terrible times? But Isaiah 31. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. This is Isaiah. This is prophecy from the Lord for Isaiah. This is for the future. This was way after Exodus. But yet, God's people, we always look back at the way we think things should be. But he says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Woe unto them. Why don't we seek the Lord first? That ought to be our first thing we look to. But yet we dwell on the negative. We complain. We look at all those things that, well, it should have been this way, or I think it ought to be. See, he's talking here about the horses and about Egypt. He's talking about us reaching out to man, us reaching out to the world for help. We don't need to do that. The world and man and even ourselves and our fleshly selves is going to disappoint us. We need to seek the Lord and the Holy One of Israel. Verse 3, now the Egyptians are men and not God. Why can't we look to Him? And their horses flesh and not spirit. Caleb had another spirit. He wasn't dependent upon man. He knew that God had the power to deliver them whatever they face. Very familiar scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How can we in our fleshly selves or depend upon the man to accomplish anything in this battle? We must have the Spirit of the Lord. We must have the Spirit of one. When David was faced with Goliath, he says in 1 Samuel 17:14, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is of the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. We need to let Him take that battle and not have it upon ourselves. Another verse in Isaiah 54. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Listen to this. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Why do we even need to think about Egypt anymore? We need to be thinking about the heritage of the Lord and what He's given us. He's given us righteousness through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us salvation through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Ray, if you would come and get ready to play that song. Today, I want you to think about, do you have that another spirit that Caleb had? Are you putting your dependence upon the Lord? Are you dependent upon the Holy Spirit in your lives? Caleb did, Joshua did, David did, many others? Are we going to try to depend upon our flesh? Are we going to try to handle our battles on our own? Well, we just read we can't do it. When God said that the people of Israel would not be able to go into the land, the next battle they had, they were defeated. We cannot win the battles on our own. But you see, the battle's already won by the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory's already won. Why can't we put our dependence and faith in Him? As He plays today, first of all, do you have God's Holy Spirit? Have you accepted Him as Lord and Savior? You've got to have Him as Lord and Savior before you can do anything else with Him. So first of all, have you accepted Him as Lord and Savior? He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave when He rose from the dead. He's already won the victory. All right, secondly, do you have that another Spirit tonight? That Holy Spirit that we can depend on. That Holy Spirit that you depend upon every minute of the day. And not dependent upon the flesh. We must depend upon that Holy Spirit. So if the Lord pricks your heart, if you would come, do the business that the Lord calls you to do tonight. I appreciate this opportunity to share God's Word. I believe every word in this book and every word He has is for our benefit and to bring honor and glory to Him. So y'all come if the Lord wills.